Let me just thank all of you in the church here. Many of you helped to sponsor some of our young people as far as this conference goes, and some of you do it every year, and you're faithful to do that. There are a few young people that are not here tonight, a couple of them in particular. One doesn't attend Beacon, fine young man that came, was tremendously blessed, and I knew he would be. A couple of our young people that come to Awana, Andy Vicente and Joel. I don't think they're here, are they? Joel's here. All right, God bless you, Joel. And Andy's a fine young man, too, and Joel, and just tremendously blessed. So we thank you for sponsoring some of these, and some of these up here were sponsored as well, and for praying as well. And, of course, we want to thank Jan Griskevitz for staying at home all week long and letting Chris come and just, he didn't do anything. He played golf, he ran around, had fun, but no, he worked very, very hard. And so thank you, Jan, wherever you are, and loaning off your husband for a while. And, of course, Amy and Mike for coming. Mike's our driver, though. I'll talk about that a little bit more. And Brother Sean took off work, of course, sort of. You know, he had his phone out all the time, and I think he was saying, yeah, just I'll be there maybe in an hour or something. I think he was faking it the whole week. And but we we thank the Lord for him as well. And Rick took off work, of course. This is his vacation week. He took it to go to youth conference with Bethley. And all these folks, we're very thankful for them, some of the college-age people for coming as well. And thank you for your prayers. On Sunday night, we left here and went up to Savannah, spent the night. I preached to the kids. Jason Kaufman over there was in Germany a few weeks ago in Auschwitz. And while he was visiting Auschwitz, there's a wall there called the Block 11, the Wall of Execution. And he walked over to that after, this is where thousands and thousands of Jews and Christians were murdered by the Nazis. And he walked over and grabbed a handful of pebbles at the foot nearby that wall and gave them to me as a gift along with a piece of barbed wire that he stole. He didn't steal it. In any case, I took those stones and passed them out to the children Sunday night and spoke on the subject, what meaneth these stones, and reminded them that there's a spiritual warfare that they're in, that warfare is serious, that there are casualties, spiritual and otherwise, and that the victory is won, but they need to decide. They need to get in or out, get on or off. And it just reminds me of all the times that I went to youth conference and camp and things like that, college tours that we took where God's just... You know, the Christian life is a matter of steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And every time someone takes a good step and a right step, and in that step they get a little more light, a little more truth and knowledge, make a decision for the Lord. It guides them and helps them for the rest of their life. Just a few days ago, Mackenzie called me, and Mackenzie's and her husband Jason are coming down, and I want him to speak when they come down, I think in August. And we talked about one thing almost the entire time, and that was youth conferences and the ones that she attended and where she made decisions. And now she's a mother of two and serving the Lord with her husband there and just a wonderful family. And it won't be long, and these up here, these young ladies, will be moms. And the decisions they make now, and in a lot of ways, you know, I've raised a couple boys that are teenagers, and one, believe it or not, Ben's becoming a teenager in August. And that's such a scary thought. But... in a lot of ways, during those years, you're just trying to keep them in a cast. You're just trying to keep them, you know, from doing anything really crazy or dumb or rebelling. And youth conference is a tremendous cast. It helps them. I'm talking about a spiritual sort of forming time for them. And so thank you for your prayers. And I'm pretty much going to turn the service over to them, beginning with Nathan, after Nathan sing, Brother Charlie. And then I'll just sit back and enjoy listening to these guys. God bless them. I appreciate the men in our church. This church has just... the best of the best of families, and I thank God for just the solid representation of godly men in this church. And Nathan, we're going to miss this young man, amen. He's going to go off to school very soon. He's been such a blessing, not just with his music, you know, which has been a blessing, playing the brass and singing, but just he's a fine young man, and I thank God for him, and he's a testimony to his parents, and he's going to sing to the Lord.
I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. Serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Amen. Well, it was just a great opportunity we had to go to youth conference this year, and this absolutely stunning looking group behind us is representative of most of those kids. I want to thank you for letting us, trusting your teenagers to us. Especially to Mr. Griskevitz and Mr. Collins and I, we had a great time. We got looking around. In fact, my brother and I, and I think Chris was there, and we were mentioning, we were just looking around on Thursday afternoon. I had told our kids to you know, wear whatever the best thing you had was. We were going to be in church most of the day, not really doing anything strenuous. And it was just encouraging, I know, to us to look around, and I thought we had the best looking group. No lie. I really did. We just had a great looking bunch of teenagers, and it was just wonderful. We had a great time. The Lord really worked in their lives, and as I thought about that, and I'll just say something quick, and I'll get off because I know some of these other guys got something to say. As I got looking around and watching our teenagers, just their spirit, it reminded me of a passage here in Nehemiah chapter 8 that I just want to read. Just for a couple of verses. I think you'll see, I can tell you, this cycle happened over and over, and Rick and I were talking about this afternoon. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible says, "And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat, and to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them." And I got watching our teenagers, especially, I was thinking around Tuesday evening and Wednesday, it just seemed like there was a joy that they had in their hearts. It really did. They would leave the message, they would go to the gymnasium to get refreshments or things, and it just seemed like they were just happy, happier than they were even when we were leaving. It was a greater happiness that they had. And my mind thought, why is that? Why are they happier now? They've just sat in a service for 2 hours. Why are they happier now? But the truth of the matter was that God had spoke to their hearts, And here in this passage, in verse 8, you'll find why they were happy. It talks about how Ezra read the Bible. It's a passage we follow a lot of the way we conduct a service. You'll find that here in the beginning of chapter 8, you can read through it, how the people had made a pulpit of wood, and Ezra stood up before the people and opened his Bible, and all the people heard the words of the Lord. And I got thinking about how truly that process was. Almost every service, a man of God stood up, he preached the Bible to them, and our teenagers had an open heart. And they had an open heart, and they would go to the altar, and they'd be weeping. But then here Nehemiah tells the people, don't weep. He says, go your way, eat, drink, and be merry. And he tells them that the joy of the Lord is their strength. Well, how can you have joy when you're under conviction? And the truth of the matter is, our teenagers, I saw many of them under deep conviction. And it was encouraging. I myself was under conviction. But it says at the end of verse 12, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. You see, the word of God was in their heart. They had something that they could take home, they could apply to their lives, that it would change them. And because of that, the joy of the Lord is their strength. And so I was so encouraged just this youth conference to see our teenagers with their open hearts, their willingness to hear the word of God, to let it convict their hearts, and then allowing it to give them strength and causing them to be excited about their Lord and about what he had given them to do. And I was just so encouraged. It was just, we had a great time. And in fact, so you'll hear from some of the teenagers here now. I'm going to get out of their way. And I trust you'll be encouraged too. I hope many of them will say something. I tried to pump them up too, so we'll see if they do or not. I know Tia is going to come now, and she wants to share her testimony in a special way.
A young girl just gave herself to the Savior of the world. She gave not part, she gave her all, and now she is the Lord's. I've been to Jesus, he took away my sin. I gave myself, I'm not my own, forever now I'm his. To the altar she slowly walked, she finally dropped. She knelt down before the King and gave him her life. I've been to Jesus, he took away my sin. I gave myself, I'm not my own, forever now I'm his. She left her life with Jesus that night to go unto the world. She went with a willing heart to teach unto the lost. I've been to Jesus, he took away my sin. I gave myself, I'm not my own, forever now I'm his. I gave myself, I'm not my own, forever now I'm his.
That was an encouraging, she actually wrote that herself, a good song. He took away my sin. I'm sure glad about that, because I've sure done a lot of bad things. But anyway, this week was great. I had a lot of fun. I had got a word from the Lord, and now I can keep going. And that's important. But the message that Pastor Blaylock, our very own pastor, preached on Sunday night kind of got my heart in check, you know. It's not time to play around. It's not time to kid around or joke around. It's time to get serious. It's a spiritual warfare we're in. And that just got me thinking a little bit. You know, I know that's hard for me to do, think. Go figure. But this week was great. It was like the preaching was awesome, but it was like the Holy Spirit was digging around in my heart, poking around. It was like a little campfire that was starting to smolder. And the Holy Spirit was moving around, poking around, getting specific things, and all of a sudden it knocked over a piece of wood, and fire started coming out, and now I'm on fire again, and it's great to have the joy of the Lord, and I'm just encouraged. But the most encouraging thing that happened this week was through the power of prayer, And the power of prayer and just, you know, trying to be somebody's friend, somebody who got prayed for, and somebody made decision. I got to see the Lord work directly, and somebody, I'm thinking of someone right now who's in my head, whose name is in my head, I can see their face that I prayed for, and they went to the altar and made a decision. And it was something great to see that. People, I thank you for praying for me and praying for this group. And it was just great to see all the decisions. And it's just, I'll tell you what, Wednesday night, it was great. We had heard a message, and one of the guys came up to me and Andy and said, you know, we want to pray. And so we're like, okay. So we're out in the middle of the hall. And we're like, we shouldn't pray in the middle of this hall. All these people are walking by. So we sort of broke into this storage closet. We didn't break in. The door was open. And so there we prayed, and, you know, some of the guys poured out their heart before the Lord, and it was just a great time of fellowship, you know. Preaching was great, but the fellowship was greater, and God just working in a mighty way. I mean, I'll tell you something, the creator of the universe talks to even me. That's something special to me. You know, it says in the Bible, in Psalm 40, verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. That's good stuff right there. That's steak and A1 sauce. You can go on that. And that's for free, by the way. But anyway, I just thank you for praying for us. And, you know, it's a great thing to have the Lord talk to you. That's something else. And now I can keep going. And I'm just thankful for this pastor and Charlie, which I got to talk to Charlie and Rick. And I don't get to do that a lot. You know, they're always working or whatever. And I got to talk to Rick about propitiation. And he did a word study on that. And I was like, yeah, buddy. And then Charlie and I had a nice little talk about leadership, and it was good, and I needed those things in my life. So not just the preaching that was great, but the fellowship with God's children and just my friends and just the prayers being answered. And I know God answers prayer, and that's something else. So thank you for praying for us. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Last year, God called me to be a missionary, but I made some decisions last year, but I didn't keep up with one of them, and that was being a witness unto those who are unsaved. I was just so scared of what others might think of me and what's not cool and all that stuff. And what touched me this year is, how can I be a witness to people in a foreign land if I can't even witness to people here in this country? And through a message that Tim Hicks spoke, he mentioned Philippians 4:13, and he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we just need to have faith that God will touch our hearts and be able to just give us the courage and strength to do anything. And the Bible says, with the faith of a mustard seed, we'll be able to move mountains. And just with a small little faith, we can do great things. Also, another thing the Lord spoke to me about this week is, when we go home, we're on fire for the Lord. We just want to go home and charge hell with a squirt gun. But we can easily be overcome with just a little squirt gun. We don't know much about the Bible because we haven't been up in our devotions and prayer time and personal time with God. But we go home, we do our devotions, we continue with it, we memorize scripture, get stronger in Christ. And as we do that, the temptation gets stronger. And the Lord says, you know what? It's time for equipment upgrade. Let me hand you a super soaker. And then, you know, we continue doing our devotions, learning more about the Lord, memorizing and scripture. And then, once again, the temptations get stronger as we grow stronger in Christ. And this time, the Lord gives us a fire hose, so we can extinguish that flame. But one thing Johnny Pope said this week, as we achieve new levels in our walk with the Lord, we'll face new temptations and new devils. And part of that is how we can fight that is by doing our devotions, praying, memorizing scripture, witnessing. But also, we need your prayers a lot more than you'll ever know. And I know as well as I, everyone else up here behind me will also appreciate your prayers. I just thank you so much.
Good evening, everyone. I just wanted to say before I actually get into my testimony is that every year in the youth conference, in any youth conference, period, is comes up the question, why is it that I'm so fired up right after I come back from the youth conference, but about a month later, I'm back down to where I was? I believe that the reason because of that is, it explains right in Ephesians 6:11, just carry the whole armor of God. I don't think that we're prepared with the whole armor of God when we're at the youth conference. We're prepared with gospel, we're prepared with truth, we're prepared for salvation, and you know, the whole armor of God, let me read to you real quick, in verse 14, stand therefore, having your lion's girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of gospel and peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That, my friends, is the whole armor of God. Being able to get right off of the youth conference and carrying the whole armor of God is one thing that's will keep you fighting. God will fight right by your side because you've got the whole armor of God carrying all the time. You know what? One of the things at the youth conference is that every day there's like God speaking to me, God speaking to me, God speaking to me. You know, and that's how it is every year. But this year is a little bit different because God's not only spoken to me, but He's prepared me for the world, prepared me for the devil's snares, prepared me for the battle. But one more thing is that we have the love of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the thing with that is, why be greedy, which it says all over the Bible, why be greedy and hold it in for yourself? Share. Go out to the world. Share. You know, this is one of the things that will make you stronger as a Christian in yourself. Will actually influence you too. No matter if you lost that person, at least the blood's off of your hands, and God did use you no matter what. I wanted to announce something, confess something, is that I don't remember anything about my salvation prayer. I remember a blur of it. I was young. So what I did this week is I reassured my faith. On the 21st of June, 2007, I know I have an anniversary. I have a birthday, God's birthday for me. And now I know that I'm going to heaven for sure, no matter what. So, and that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Well, this has been an amazing, wonderful youth conference. And it's funny because you go to so many conferences for long they've been around, and you think after a while you get tired of it, but it just goes to show that the Word of God never gets old. It's always fresh and exciting. It always has power, never loses its power. And I want to thank you all personally, and I really mean it, for sponsoring and helping some of these kids. I know a lot of you had a big part in some of these kids being here. One of the greatest groups I've ever had a pleasure to be a part of. And it was just so much fun. And it was such a sweet time where the still small voice of God could definitely be heard and you could see it working. I could say this one thing, that it's funny. I remember myself being in their shoes, being in the youth group, and just a few years later, now I'm looking back and our group is gone. You know, Andrews is serving the Lord, and my brother's in Peru, and Charlie and Rick are serving the Lord here, and Charlie's about to get married, and Rick's going to be a father soon, and it's very exciting. But now I see this new group come up, and it's funny because the same God who spoke to me is speaking to their hearts. And it just goes to show that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's encouraging to me that, hey, Andy, there's something bigger going on than your life. There's a next generation coming up. What are you going to do for them? Is it all about you? When I'm dead and gone, what are they going to have behind? Are they going to pass the torch? So it was humbling for me in that regard. And also, and I ask you to pray for me, there's a lot of decisions I have to make for the future. And I know a lot is required of me, and it's good. And it should be for all the things that I've been blessed with. But even though I'm not sure of the future and what God has, even though I'm uncertain, I don't have to feel that way about my Lord, because He is the same. He always will be. And I thank you all again for everything you've done, and I give God the glory for it. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you all, especially for, sending us on this and praying for us. I know that as a leader this time, or a leader, getting to see these kids and their reflection of your families, the families they grow up in. And I got to say, we did look around. Charlie and I did look around, and we looked at all of them. And it's been this way every year, but it's, they stand out. They really do. I can say that, but until you're there and you see them, you probably don't believe me. But it's a credit to this church. It's a credit to our preacher. It's a credit to God. But it's a credit to these families. Without the family, there's no church. The family teaches the kids at home, and then the church helps reinforce what the family's taught. And it's your guys' work, it's my parents' work, that has got us to where we are today. And I was thinking about the trip, and we were on our way home, and I was up front with Mike, sitting on the right where you step out on the coach, and I was just thinking, most of the time on the way back I slept, sorry Mike, but I was thinking about what the Lord has done in past youth conferences in my life and what He's done in this one. And we all get told that, oh, in 3 weeks it'll all be gone, but I want you guys to know that there's things that that the Lord impressed on my life to do when I was sitting in a youth conference that's still being done in my life. He changed my life at youth conferences. He changed my life here. Some things, yes, will change, and you'll lose your fire a little bit, but the Lord is still there. And I was thinking about that whole thing, and the Lord gave me this message. Hopefully I'll be real quick, it's about Psalm 51 and David. We think of it as the great repentance psalm, and it started with the compassion of the Savior. And the reason, I was thinking about it today, and I was thinking I was going to say it's the carelessness of David, that he backslid and that he wasn't with the kings going to war. And that's true. But when we find him, when Nathan the prophet comes to him and says, "Thou art the man," it was the compassion of the Savior. It was Christ sending Nathan the prophet to David and pointing out, "Hey, you are the man." So the point of that is the Lord initiates repentance. Then we see the conviction of David's sin. When Nathan says, "Thou art the man," we see him broken. We see David repenting to the Lord. Second thing, now we're going to Psalm 51. It's the confession of sin. And in the first 14 verses of Psalm 51, he's confessing his sin before the Lord. And basically all confession is, we heard Scott Pauley say it the last time he was here, confessing is agreeing with God about what your sin is. And in Psalm, he says, "Create in me a clean heart." That's the famous passage. And "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation." He agrees with God about his sin and seeks repentance. He confesses his sin. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The second thing that we see about is that God restores the joy of his salvation, as Charlie was saying. In verses 15 through 18, "O Lord, open now thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." David gets his joy back. He's still going to have to pay the consequences, and the consequences of sin will still come about. But the joy, we can have joy after we confess our sin. But what stood out to me was verse 19. And I had always, when I read this passage, I always thought, what is 19 there for? It says, "Then shall thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Now, wait a minute. He's just confessed his sin. God's forgiven him his sin. He's restored the joy. But David says, then shall thou be pleased with sacrifices. It's an ongoing thing. We get our, you know, right now you see them at verse 14 through 18. They're strong in the Lord. The joy of the strength is their Lord. But they're going to mess up. We're going to mess up. But once we're in line with the Lord, it says, then shall thou be pleased. The burnt offerings here are what was offered in Leviticus, it explains. It was offered when the people sinned. And so that's what the Lord spoke to my heart about. He, you know, even though we get right with the Lord, we agree with God about our sin, we're going to mess up. We're going to, you know, sin again. But the Lord says, confession, it's an ongoing thing. So.
So encouraging to hear from everybody up here. Oh, I just want to go back up there and listen to them some more. But thank you all for praying. This has been an awesome trip. Just awesome. Pastor, thank you. Thank you to all the chaperones, to the drivers. Appreciate you. Even though you got a little bit cranky towards the end there, that's okay. We all did. But the Lord has definitely talked to me this week. He has told me, basically, trust me. Just trust me, Josh. That's all you have to do. Just trust me. You don't have to be a great orator. You don't have to have a million Bible verses memorized. You don't even have to be comfortable speaking up here. And thank God I'm not. So, but no, I'm just kidding. But I just had a lot of confirmation that I am doing what he wants me to do. In college, I know a lot of these guys are going off to Bible college and all that. But, you know, God doesn't call everyone to go into the ministry. He calls us into full-time ministry because we're Christians. But as far as being pastors, you know, if everyone was a pastor, then there'd be nobody to speak to. So, one thing that has been kind of touching my heart was I would try to do everything to the best of, you know, what God tells me to do. And, you know, people would say, well, you're not doing it the way I would have you do it. Well, I think it was Pastor that said, you know, this is the way to follow your life. You know, you're not going to agree with everyone. Everyone has their, you know, their own convictions, their standards. But this is where we need to get our strength from. This is what we need to follow. And if we're in it daily, you know, he's not going to steer us wrong. The Bible is our guide. Even though there is safety in a group of counselors and a multitude of counselors, there is safety. In the end, this is what we turn to. And, you know, I know that we're all different, but it's our differences that God uses. And with our differences, with our infirmities, with, you know, it just shows how much stronger God is. And, you know, that's really encouraging. You know, he could use someone like me. He can use someone like you. You know, we're all different, but he can use us. And it's just exciting. And, you know, this next semester in college, you know, God's opened up doors for me. I've been able to join Christian clubs. I've actually been made president of one. So I'm going to need a lot of prayer. I don't know what I'm doing. I know I just need to stay in here. And, you know, that was what I've been praying about. He said, just trust me. That's all you have to do, Josh. Just trust me. Don't worry about what you're going to say, what you're going to wear, how you're going to speak. I'll take care of that for you. Just trust me. And there is a spiritual war going on. And the enemy is all around us. And, you know, just this morning, in Brother Walker's class, you know, he was telling us that, you know, the enemy may even be sneaking in here. You know, we may not know it. We may even be helping out the devil. We don't know. You know, if we're discouraging our brother or saying, oh, yeah, well, I didn't agree with what Pastor said. We're all different. But, you know, encourage your brothers. Encourage your sisters. That's why we need to be in the Bible daily. Someone once said, everyone is in God's army, and if you can't shoot a gun, you can at least carry ammo. This is our ammo, right here. Everyone can do something for God, and it starts right here. Thank you for praying for us.
First of all, I'd just like to thank all the chaperones and leaders for giving their time to even take us up there. And then I'd like to thank all of you for praying for me, especially. And I made a lot of decisions this week. I gave my life to the Lord to do whatever He wants me to do. And I feel the Lord is calling me to be in the ministry somewhere. I'm not sure where, but I know that with Christ I can do all things. And I know I'm not that good at stuff, and I'm just thankful that I know the Lord, that I have a great family, and thank you for praying for me.
I just want to start off saying that thank you for those that prayed for us and those that sponsored me and many others, and the workers that helped us. And, well, during all this week, I learned that God spoke to my heart saying to be a preacher. My mind was, before that, my mind was thinking of do something for the world to be changed, to help those that are in need. And my heart kept saying, yes, do that. And during all that week, I heard, I think, Brother Greg Locke saying that if you are called to do something for the Lord, do it. I can't say no, but I can say yes. So I just want to share something in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, chapter 2 and 7. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Thank you.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kim Kowalski. I'm down from New Jersey visiting Katie Rigsby. And I would first just like to thank the Lord for the opportunity I had to go on this youth conference. I was able to go 2 years ago when the youth group went again, and that was such a wonderful experience, and the messages spoke to my heart. So I was really thankful when I found out I had the opportunity to go this year. And this past week was very hard for me. In my heart, I was struggling with a lot of things, and the Lord was speaking to me, but I felt the presence of Satan very hard on my life and just trying to discourage me from decisions I was going to make, I had made, and just it was very hard. And I know the Bible says, and you know, it's commonly known, the Lord is with you, He'll carry you through the hard times. And I believe that, you know, it's written in the Bible. I trust what God says. But this week I saw it. I in one of the messages, Greg Locke was talking about how Jacob wrestled with the angel, and when he touched him on his thigh, he weakened him, and because Jacob wouldn't let go of the struggle. And he brought Jacob to the point of exhaustion, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And that's where I was brought this past week. I gave up. I was like, Lord, I have nowhere else to go. And that was Thursday night, and I was in tears, and I was just like, Lord, I don't know what else you want me to do. I believe I'm giving you everything, and I'm just trusting you. Lord, what do you want me to do? And just when I woke up on Friday, all day Friday, I had peace. And it was just a comfort to know. I believed that the Lord would be with me, but I saw it. And that was just so comforting. Just, you know, when God gives you, you know, faith is without seeing. But when God gives you something to see, it's just extra encouragement. And I'm just so thankful that I was able to come, and I know that the Lord is going to use this in my life.
I want to thank you all for praying for us this week. We really needed it. And the theme this week was, is it in you? And like when we first got there, we were all kind of confused because, you know, it's Gatorade, is it in you? We really didn't know what they were talking about. So the very first message, Kenny Baldwin spoke, and he spoke about, is it in you? And we finally realized it was faith. Is it in you? Like, it was a long message, and it was very touching, and, you know, we all cried, and we go through our lives, you know, doing what we want to do, and doing how we think we should do our daily lives, go about them and stuff. But the only way to get through our day knowing what we've done is right is if we do it with God. If we make decisions without God, that's just, I don't know. Like me personally, if I make a decision, I'm like, oh, you know, I think that's cool. But without God, it's not very cool. But on Wednesday, there was a message about Johnny Pope spoke. And Johnny Pope is, you know, he's very long-winded. And he spoke, and I was sitting there and kind of dazing off because he was going over his time. And so I was thinking about that. And then I decided to tune in for a little bit. And he said, this is what, if I missed anything all this week, this is what I heard the most. He said, if you're not, you can't be right with God and not be right with your mom and dad. And that's very hard for me because a lot of the times I don't listen to my parents. I don't take their advice because they're not cool. Or they're too old, or, you know. And he said that Wednesday, and then he said it again on Thursday, and then he said it again on Friday. And I just thought, you know, he's doing this for me, because I really needed to hear that. And it's a hard thing to swallow because, you know, doing what your parents want you to do is very hard, for me at least, because I don't know. And this week was different for me. It's not like all the other youth conferences I've been to because, you know, it just seemed like regular church services to me. And I wasn't under a lot of conviction that I've been under past years. But the last day, Friday, we all went to the altar and I saw my brother sitting there. And I went and prayed with him and, you know, didn't think anything of it. Just, you know, my little brother, you know, cute. And so on Saturday, we gave our testimonies and stuff. And sorry, Brandon, but he started to cry. And he said, you know, it hit me hard. My sister came and prayed with me. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it because I just decided I'd pray with them. And he said that he was very thankful for that. And just, you know, all week long, I didn't really think about anyone else. I was just focused on me, me, me. And I realized so many people made decisions this week. And that touched me more because, you know, my friend Sarah, she made a very important decision. And Joel, that was really cool. And Brandon, you know, this is his first youth conference, and I thought he'd be really annoying. But it was really neat to see that he made a very important decision and stuff. But I just want to thank you for your prayers and just continue to pray for us because we really need it.
Well, I wasn't planning on speaking tonight. I just get really nervous about this kind of thing, but God was speaking to my heart, and I hope he speaks through me. I want to thank the leaders and pastor and my parents especially for letting me go. This entire past year, God's been speaking to me about surrendering my life to be a pastor's wife, and I actually surrendered my life personally to God on my own, and this past week it reassured me that that's what he wants me to do. And besides the excellent preaching, one of the things I enjoyed most was yesterday, Andy and Rick and Kevin were kind of just preaching at each other, and I wanted to, you know, join in and listen, and well, not preaching, but, you know, listen, and, you know, just for the whole hour, I learned so much just through their, you know, just speaking through the Bible, and I really enjoyed that, and God's given me a desire to study the Bible and a love for it. So thank you.
Hi. This was my very first youth conference ever, and I was later, so I was a little nervous. I've been to other conferences, but I was always helping put them on, so I've never done the, like, in-service work. But I just prayed and asked the Lord to help me, and it seemed like every time I thought, oh, I know what God wants me to do. I know exactly what he's going to want me to say. It was exactly opposite, and I was not ready at all. And it really taught me that, you know, no matter what we think the Lord has for us, we may be right, we may be wrong, but his way is perfect. So just keep your eyes open and watch, you know, don't just think you know. And so, and then the second thing the Lord taught me was people are constantly watching. And I know, you know, they always say, be careful what you say to little kids because, you know, they're listening and their little minds are working fast. And not that their minds don't work fast, but sometimes things I would say, I would hear them saying like an hour later, and I thought, oh my goodness, what if I said something wrong, you know? What are they going to say? But it was an encouragement to me, and it was a like a little shot in the arm to, you know, always be prepared and always have that answer. The Bible says, you know, don't, you know, keep up on your Bible reading. Always have that answer. That the Lord's gonna, he wants to use you, and whenever you don't think it's gonna happen or you're all prepared for something else, he has something completely different. And but his way is perfect, and he knows best. And the messages were all great. I had a wonderful day Wednesday with my break, and I got a little bit of extra sleep, so that was nice. But it was just, it was a wonderful trip, and it was really neat to be with a youth group that I didn't grow up with, but I've been, you know, around for the last couple years. And to see the growth from when I met them to now. And like they said, it's a super reflection on the preaching, on our preacher, on the church, but especially on the parents. And that was a real challenge to me. Because pretty soon, we'll have a little baby. And even though, you know, she's not going to, like, take her first steps as soon as she's born and learn, you know, to be saved, even to start out little and then as she's older, still, you know, we got to watch, like I said, with the other ones that, you know, she's listening all the time. And that was just a encouragement to me that I got to go and spend some time with your teens.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I'm very nervous right now. But I just wanted to tell you all that I gave my life to God for whatever he wants me to do. Thank you.
I really liked the preaching this week, and I realized that I was still holding back part of my life, so I gave it all to the Lord. And thank you all for your prayers.
Amen. Well, this is my first time going to the youth conference, and I had a great time. And on the way up there, it felt like the chaperones were going to throw me out of the coach or something. Because I was being really annoying to them. But thank you for praying for me, let me go. And I like thank you for my parents for letting me go too. Because I had a really great time because my dad went too. Thanks.
Our family's been coming to the church for about a little over a year, and they joined the church, and I haven't yet. But I'm sure most of you have seen me around. I was kind of looking forward to going to this conference. I wasn't real excited about it, but I just want to thank you all for praying for me and all of us. We had a lot of good times. Made some new friends because I'm not real outgoing, so Nobody really knew me before this, but I'm sure they all know me real well now. And one thing at the youth conference that really encouraged me was the number of kids that were there, not just from our church, but from other churches. There was over 1,000 teenagers there. And with the amount of good preaching that was going on for the week, and the number of decisions that were made, being called to preach or to be a missionary, or even salvation, it was real encouraging. The one thing that convicted me the most was not any of the preaching necessarily, although it was good, but one of the college groups that came to sing. And they sang a song about, if I could only tell one story, it would be the story of the cross. And I know that wouldn't have been me, but that's the one thing that really convicted me. And I want to say thank you to all of you again for praying, and I had a lot of fun. So, thanks. Amen. God bless you.